Please turn to Colossians chapter 4, and we'd like to read verse 6 as a basis for our study. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer, and this is from his letter that he sent to the Christians who lived in the city of Colossae. In this verse, he wrote, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." This morning, we emphasize the importance of learning God's statutes and God's commandments. We base that on some statements found in Psalm 119. In verse 71, the writer said that he wanted to learn God's statutes. And then in verse 73, he indicated that he wanted to learn God's commandments. So we have a responsibility to learn God's commandments and statutes ourselves. But we also need to keep in mind that the Lord wants us, as his people, to help others learn his statutes and his commandments. And as we endeavor to do so, as we have opportunities to help others learn God's statutes and commandments, we must be able to answer questions that might be asked. And our lesson is actually based on the principle that's touched on in the latter part of Colossians 4 and verse 6. That is, knowing how to answer everyone. That's a challenge. But the Bible does teach us to do our very best to know how to answer people when questions are asked. That requires much wisdom and good judgment. And we need to be grateful that the Bible actually gives us some insight so that we will be able to answer people when questions may be asked. The first point we need to make is that some questions are to be avoided. I'm not trying to be negative, but the Bible actually teaches that, and it teaches it very clearly. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23. Second Timothy 2 and verse 23 says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." Also Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." Why is it that foolish and ignorant questions are to be avoided? They're to be avoided because they result in strife. Also, according to what Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, arguing over foolish matters is just unprofitable. It doesn't serve any good purpose. Now, that requires good judgment to be able to determine whether a question is foolish, and whether it's coming forth from a person with the proper motives. I enjoy studying our Lord's ministry. I suppose you probably picked up on that over the years. For a long time, I paid close attention to what Jesus actually said, and I still do. But a number of years ago, I took some time and looked at how Jesus said what he said. And I couldn't help but notice that our Lord had great wisdom. And we would do well to follow the example that he set. Now, Jesus had an advantage over us. He knew the hearts of men. And when someone approached him with a question, he already knew what the question was, and he knew the condition of the heart of the person who was asking him the question. Our Lord was often asked questions that were designed to entrap him, because people were looking for something that they could use against him. Now, Jesus never shied away from answering questions, but he possessed wisdom that we don't have. And we need to, the best of our ability, follow his example. But we have to admit our limitations. Foolish and unlearned questions are just simply to be avoided. They lead to strife, and arguing over foolish matters is just unprofitable, does not serve any good purpose. But we would do well to follow our Lord's example in demonstrating wisdom when answering questions that people may ask. I believe we need to give people the benefit of the doubt concerning their motives. I'm not able to read a person's heart. The Lord was able to do that. We're not able to do that. I want to give someone the benefit of the doubt. But if a person has a tendency to want to argue or go a direction that is not going to serve any good purpose, well, that's just to be avoided. I've mentioned this a number of times. If I had the opportunity to try to be of assistance to maybe some young men who were wanting to preach the gospel, I would emphasize the importance of avoiding foolish questions. Now, Jesus had an advantage in that he knew the hearts of people when they came to him. And he even answered questions that were designed to entrap him. I thought many times that the Lord answered some questions that I would have run from, but he answered them. But Jesus always, I believe, kept in mind that when someone was asking him a question with an impure motive, others were nearby. His disciples were often present. And he would turn those difficult situations into teaching opportunities. I can't help but think about when Jesus was asked about the resurrection by the Sadducees. He pointed out the errors of the Sadducees. He said, "You're wrong." That's the way we would say it. He said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God." He went on to teach some things about the resurrection. There were others standing by who could be influenced for good. So we need to keep in mind that when maybe someone approaches us with a question that might be somewhat challenging, we need to exercise good judgment and demonstrate wisdom, because others might be influenced in a positive way. So I think that's where we need to begin. We need to understand that some questions are to be avoided. But when people ask honest questions with good motives, we're to give correct scriptural answers. Look at Titus chapter 2 and let's read verse 1. In Paul's letter to Titus, he encouraged Titus to speak the things which become sound doctrine. When we are asked questions, we need to give correct scriptural answers. Now, to do that, we need to keep in mind what we studied this morning. We need to strive to learn God's statutes and God's commandments. That's the way that we'll be able to answer questions with correct scriptural answers. So we have to have a good knowledge of the scriptures, and that requires diligent study. In my judgment, it's helpful to be able to show people what the Bible teaches. That's what I was taught years ago by a dear friend in Jacksonville named Wallace Maxwell. He was a fine preacher and a good friend, and he worked with the same congregation for over 40 years in Jacksonville. He had a lot of influence in my hometown. I'm glad that I had him for a good friend. But he liked to emphasize classes on personal evangelism. And in his classes, he always emphasized showing people what the Bible says. It's one thing to tell somebody what the Bible says, but it's something else if you'll actually show what the Bible says. And one illustration he used was, if you're sitting at a table talking with someone, always keep that Bible between you and the other person. It might just come in very handy. In other words, actually show the other person what the scriptures have to say. Well, I found that people respect that. And oftentimes you can show somebody what the Bible says, and the response will be something like this. Well, I didn't know that was in there. You've had an opportunity to teach someone something that that person probably didn't have a clue of. Well, I've always believed that the power's in the word and not the person. So I think that's a good method to show somebody what the Bible actually says. By all means, we need to try to avoid saying, I think this or I think that. Well, there's a place and a time for opinion. When it comes to a study of Scripture, we need to stick with what the Bible actually says. And as I mentioned, it's very helpful to show someone what the Scriptures have to say. Now, this has happened to me many times, and more than likely it's happened to you. Someone will ask a question that you're not able to answer. The right approach is say, I don't know. Just admit it. Say, I don't know. But thank you for giving me an opportunity to study something that I'm not familiar with. I'll study it and I'll get back with you. Now, people respect honesty, and they can see it. They can read it. They don't like dishonesty. And it's been my experience that most people will appreciate the effort that you put forth to look up an answer for them. People appreciate that. Now, we're talking about someone who has good motives, who's asking honest questions. People ask questions for information. That's why I ask questions from time to time, because I have to admit that I don't know something and I'm looking for the answer. So the right thing to do is ask questions. And then I try to take the advice that I'm given. Well, people respect honesty. They will appreciate any effort that you put forth to find an answer to their questions. So when someone asks an honest question with the proper motive, we need to give correct scriptural answers. But there's something else we need to consider. In addition to answering questions with correct answers, we need to give careful attention to the way that we answer questions. That's another matter that I picked up on when studying the Lord's teaching. Jesus was very careful about the way that he talked with people. Let's consider a few instructions that were given to two preachers. Let's look at Titus chapter 2 and read verses 7 and 8. We've already pointed out from verse 1 that Titus was responsible for speaking the things which become sound doctrine. When someone asks a question, we need to give them an answer that's considered to be sound doctrine. And by the way, in the verses that follow, Titus was responsible for being able to communicate with people from all different age groups. He was to teach certain things to the aged men. He was to teach certain things to the aged women, who were in turn to teach things to the young women. And then he was to be able to communicate with the young men. But after dealing with that, look at verse 7. Paul said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Not only are we to answer questions with sound doctrine, but we're to answer with sound speech that cannot be used against us. Now, regardless of how careful you might endeavor to be, if someone wants to find fault, they're going to find fault. People found fault with our Lord, and when they couldn't stand up to his arguments that he made against them, they resorted to name-calling. They called Jesus some horrible names. On one occasion, someone called him a Samaritan. Well, we may not be able to identify with that, but that was not a compliment. And they did not intend to compliment our Lord. They accused him of having a devil. Can you imagine speaking like that to the Son of God? Well, if people would speak like that to the Son of God, can we expect any less? Well, we're to the best of our ability, use sound speech that cannot be used against us. Let's look also at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and notice some other instructions that relate to the way that we answer questions. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's start at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Notice that gentleness, patience, and meekness are to be demonstrated as we endeavor to teach people. By the way, Peter touches on this, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. He says that we're to answer with meekness and fear. So we need to be very careful about the way that we answer questions. These instructions to Timothy and Titus, I believe, will be very helpful. But you know, answering questions involves using speech, saying words. That being the case, we need to be mindful of some general instructions that relate to our speech. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and read verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. This verse teaches us to avoid one particular type of communication is described as being corrupt. Corrupt communication would involve using language that just simply is not wholesome. We need to use good judgment concerning the things that we say, and to the very best of our ability, we need to avoid bad habits concerning the way that we speak. Rather than use corrupt communication, the scriptures teach us to use language that edifies and ministers grace to those who hear us. So Ephesians 4 and verse 29 relates to our speech in general, but we need to understand that when we're answering questions, we're actually communicating with people. So we need to give careful attention to the way that we answer the questions that we may be asked. We must use or follow the instructions given to us concerning our speech. Now let's look at the verse that we began with, Colossians 4 and verse 6. We've been emphasizing the latter part of this verse, which says that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. But the first part of this verse says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. When we endeavor to answer questions, we're to do so with grace and good taste. Now that can be a challenge. When people ask questions, you never know their background. You may not know their background. I should say it that way. You don't know what's on the person's mind. I believe, as I said earlier, that we need to give people the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're asking honest questions from pure motives. And we need to follow that assumption until it's proved to be otherwise. But we need to demonstrate grace and good taste when we answer questions. The Bible teaches us to know how to answer everyone. That can be a challenge. But these principles, I believe, will help us to do what the Lord wants us to do. We need to understand that some questions are to be avoided. When we are asked questions, we need to give correct answers from the Bible. And we need to give careful attention to the way that we answer questions. And as we do so, demonstrate meekness and use proper speech. After looking back over the years, there have been some times when I felt like I did a pretty good job answering questions that people have asked me, but I have to admit there have been some times when I've just simply failed. I guess that's part of being a member of the human race. We need to rejoice that we have these instructions and these guidelines that will help us. I do recall something that happened a number of years ago when Teresa and I lived in South Texas. It had to be about this time of year because there was a football game on Saturday, a professional football game. The Houston Oilers were playing. We had been invited to the home of a Chinese family. We had an opportunity to work with some folks from Taiwan, and we learned to love them and appreciate them very much. But a few of the ladies had actually been studied with, and they became Christians. But in their culture, Chinese men usually don't get too much involved in matters like that. And the people that we worked with were either Hindu or they worshiped their ancestors or Buddhist. Now imagine Raymond and Teresa were the only ones in a house full of Chinese people, and the men are in the living room while the ladies were in the kitchen getting the meal ready, and they're watching the Houston Oilers play football. They don't know a thing about professional football, so they're depending on me to explain football to them. Well, you know, American kids just grow up knowing about football. We don't have to be taught. We just come by it, you know? But imagine someone from a different culture who's having a hard time with English anyway, being taught the rules of football. Well, I was trying to explain some things in a very general way that might be helpful. About that time, there was a field goal that was kicked. I said, "That's good. 3 points." A while later, a touchdown was scored. I said, "That's very good. That's 6 points." And then you kick the extra point and make it 7. So I was having my work cut out for me trying to explain football to a group of Chinese men. And it was a challenge. But later on, when I was in a side room, one of the men came up to me and asked me a question. He said, "Why you Christian?" He didn't say, "Why are you a preacher?" Oh, I could have given him a dissertation on that. He said, "Why are you Christian?" And he was just as serious as he could be. And I thought, well, I don't even have my Bible with me. How am I going to answer this man? So I drew a deep breath. And when I did, I said, "Lord, please help me." And in a very abbreviated way, I told him the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. I had to use English that he could understand, and I told it in a very simple way. And when I got through, I looked him in the eye. I said, "I am that young son." He got a smile on his face. He kind of nodded. He said, "I have heard this story." I don't know if it answered his question or not. I hope it did. But we just never know when we might be asked a challenging question. And we have an opportunity to make a good impression and have some good influence, or we can just close the door. I don't know if that man went home and got his wife's Bible and maybe looked up the parable of the prodigal son. I don't know if he did or not. I'd like to think that that was one time when I answered someone well. Now, I'm not going to tell you about any times when I haven't. I'm trying to forget about those. But when someone asks a question, you just never know what it might lead to. And it would behoove us to follow these instructions that we've studied. The Lord put these matters in His book for a reason. I think He wants us to profit from them. Well, we need to take advantage of this information that's been given to us and use them with the Lord's help, with understanding and patience and forbearance, and do our best to help someone learn the Word of God. Learning God's commandments and learning God's statutes is a very important matter. We need to do that for our own benefit, but then in turn we can help others learn those matters as well. Well, I appreciate your good attention. You've listened well. Let's keep in mind these things as we go through this year. I have said this for the last several years. I believe people are searching for something. I don't know if they realize what they're searching for. I know what they need. But I think sooner or later, either this world's going to completely fall apart, or else there's going to be an opportunity for great revival. People have to one day realize that the direction we're headed is not good. There has to be something better. That's where we come in. When people see us endeavoring to follow the Lord's will, we just might have opportunities to answer questions from people who are honestly searching for the truth. And what a great blessing that would be to help someone else learn the truth.